Welcome to Backbone Radio. Matt Dunn here at your servicio. So glad you are with us. Your ears are near. And it's kind of, you feel that summer vibe around Colorado. Driving by a big old reservoir a little bit ago, I noticed the jet skiers are out. People are out there on their boats. I didn't see any water skiers yet, as that's probably started happening. So it is kind of jarring. And what was it? 2 weeks ago, we're in here and we've got 2 feet of snow falling on us. And then last week, there we are with a massive windstorm. Gosh, that was a good one. And now all of a sudden, it's perfect, almost summery kind of weather. Kind of the vibe change. But the funny thing is, as we all know, as Coloradoans know, we'll probably be sitting under a foot of snow by next Sunday. I haven't looked. But anyway, onward. And it just, you know, in the winter, I call it nighttime shows, but in the summer, we call it afternoon shows because there's so much bright sunlight out there. That perfect view of Mount Evans across the Front Range. Did I call it Mount Evans? Oh, I guess I did. Somehow I did. At any rate, so glad you're on board. 303-696-1971. Would love to just have some great chats with one and all and sundry from out there in Backbone Country this evening. And the text-to-studio function, if you are so inclined, keep them flying in here. Help keep the host on track, if you would. One thing I am sitting around puzzled about is why, when you see poll data, why isn't Joe Biden at 0%? Can you think of a reason why Joe Biden is not at zero? It's hard for me to imagine that he has any kind of support at all. And it's a little disturbing in some ways that Biden is not at zero. How do you explain this? And I might ask for some thoughts from alert listeners out there, is that you look at the disaster that Biden has brought upon the United States of America. Go down the list on basically anything you can point to, foreign policy, domestic policy, everything going to hell in a handbasket in this country. The palpable sense of that, the palpable sense of puppetry, a puppet up there who happens to be slow, almost unable to walk, keeps falling down, falling off his bike. You know the story. Why does he even have any support? And maybe I'll be speculating on this as the program goes on. Nicely enough, the poll data has Trump leading, Trump winning, beating Biden at present in the polls, and it goes anywhere from 3, 4, or 5 points. Sometimes polls come out that have Trump with double-digit leads. But I'll tell you, Trump is running like the perfect campaign. And he's got the perfect resume. He's the most qualified individual to ever run for the presidency. And it shouldn't it be like 99-1 at this point? I mean, if you're a common sense American and you like this country a little bit and you realize how good things were back when Trump was president and now we've got Biden in there and everything is all screwed up. Sometimes you wonder if deliberately, you know, why aren't we like, you know, miles ahead? And I know it doesn't work that way. I'm kind of asking this tongue in cheek. And I know there's an awful lot of propaganda out there that explains why there is some residual Biden support. But I think you could make this case that if the American people had an informed sense of what was going on with their country and how it was hanging by a thread right here and right now, if you could clear away that propaganda that's propping up Joe Biden, I do think we'd be a single-digit kind of scenario. It would be like 90 to 10. Well, I guess that's still double digits. Let's say it's 91 to 9. And maybe we're going to end up there, do you think, before November? Anyway, We'll try to explain some of the reasons why you don't ever get like somebody down to single digits in politics. And of course, that's America and it's divided and all that. NPR just had a major story come out written by somebody who's worked at NPR for 25 years saying, boy, NPR, which means the mainstream media, has lost the trust of its listeners, its viewers. Yeah, I think that is exactly right. And they have, apparently, at the NPR in Washington, D.C. desk, they have 87 people on it. And 87 people are registered as Democrats, and zero people are registered as Republicans. As Elon Musk pointed out, he said, that's not very balanced, is it? That's not entirely balanced. And I don't know, when you have 87 people working for NPR, paid by your taxpayer dollars. You're paying for those 87 Democrats there to work at NPR. Do you think that, becomes a little bit cult-like? And it would be people like that in those environments where it's 87-0 that say, if you want to put America first, if you're a MAGA person, if you're a Republican out here in the heartland or wherever, well, you must be a member of a cult. Kind of seems to me that if you're in an 87-0 newsroom, that might be the cult. Does that make sense? Yeah, I think it should make sense, but the cult people like to point the fingers outward elsewhere, of course. I will describe that, Trump running a perfect campaign. I've been talking about this. It is perfect. He ran a perfect primary and thus far has been running a perfect general. And Scott Adams, the Dilbert guy, has started pointing this out. I don't know if he listens to Backbone Radio, heard me saying that. But the abortion issue comes up, okay? It comes up this week in a big, hot, and heavy way. And Donald Trump comes out with a common sense, pro-life position, and which I think unifies the vast majority of the Republican Party and even the Democrat Party. Much of it, some of it, falls in line with what Donald Trump's position is on the life matter. But of course, Lindsey Graham comes out, tries to undermine Trump on the matter. And Mike Pence, the backstabber, fake Christian himself, comes out and says, Trump's going wobbly on this issue. I thought, let's at least go through that a little bit with the understanding that nothing has gone right for the Biden administration. Everything has gone the wrong direction. Every arrow pointing south, when ideally they'd be pointing north. And the fallback position of the Democrats, why they maybe are not at zero, is they can talk about the abortion issue. Everything's horrible. Biden's a terrible, but the abortion issue. That's kind of what they did in 2020. And they're going to try to do that again here in 2024. Trump's position on the life issue, which we will listen to in detail, has neutralized the Democrat desire to have that as an issue. And yet, people like Pence and Lindsey Graham make that harder to do, to the extent that anybody listens to 0% Pence or 0% Lindsey Graham. It's at least worth exploring a little bit. And by the way, have you seen this, that Dr. Phil is kind of starting to weigh in on the cultural scene in America from a conservative perspective? Anybody aware of this Dr. Phil guy? And where has he been all these years? I know he's like always there and you always hear his name. Everybody knows his name. He's a mainstream figure, but all of a sudden, he's come out with a new book called We've Got Issues, and he's talking about the border and the lawlessness down there and other sundry things. I might explore Dr. Phil a little bit. Where has he been? Where did he come from? I mean, should we like this? Is it seems kind of good to have another hand on deck here? Matt Dunn, Backbone Radio. The Apartment Song from Tom Petty. Bringing us right back in here. Stevie Nicks. Yeah, that's her singing back up on that little tune. We were playing some rare, hard-to-find Tom Petty last week, and I thought we'd play another one this week. This is a demo tune, The Apartment Song. They should have released this, because I think it kind of rocks. Wouldn't you agree? Had a text-to-studio in here that I'm pondering the mystery. Why isn't Joe Biden at 0% support? It's just, why does he even have 1% support, you know? You got to wonder. It seems a little mysterious. And had a text-to-studio say, Biden not at 0% because of all the dead people supporting him. And I'm trying not to laugh at that, but you get the idea. I mean, Biden, World War III, are we going to really have it now, this World War III? Middle East, complete disaster under Joe Biden. Just epic, right? And we're all going to have to pay the price for that if that gets really grim, bad, and ugly. The way we've all been paying the price for the war in Ukraine. Notice none of these wars happened when Trump was around and president. We got to make peace great again. Make world peace great again. And get Trump back in there in November 2024. I'd like to call and ask for I'm calling for a timeout. A total timeout on all things foreign and domestic policy until November. Until we can get the adult back in charge of this country. Who's with me? You want to call a timeout? Timeout, everybody! Timeout in the Middle East. Timeout Russia, Ukraine. Timeout. Timeout on our economy right here. That Biden is just hacking away at. Throw in the gag orders, the censorship. Oh, man, they love to shut you up. They don't want your voice out there. And of course, Biden with his slurring and his pratfalling, the rest of it. The inflation, ooh. Inflation, bad scene, man. Came in hotter numbers than they, quote, expected this week. Yeah, but I was expecting them. Who didn't expect them? Who did not expect to have this hot inflation? I expected it. I bet you did, too, hanging out there. Throw in a little Hunter Biden. What a disaster. Rolling disaster is Hunter Biden. Think about what perfect model citizens the Trump children are. And Hunter, oh, what a piece of work. And, I mean, that's the son, right? Okay. Throw in the Ashley Biden diary. Biden's weird habit, you know, he kind of sniffs people when he's around in public, like sniffs them. It's strange. So, again, everything was okay back when Trump was president. But then now we get Biden in there and everything is kind of bad, falling apart. As Ned Ryan says, going to hell in a handbasket. So what's the deal? I mean, why are we not at Biden 0%? You know, he should be right there where Lindsey Graham is or Mike Pence is. Zero. Right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Let's get to the phone lines and hear some thoughts. We've got Eric, the great American. Glad you could touch base, Eric. How are you, sir?
Dr. Dunn, okay. I'm cool now, but I was hot as fish grease. But you choked me out a little bit.
Okay, good, yeah.
I got 3 points.
3 points?
Great American.
Okay. Yes. It's okay if you're hot, though. You know, you don't need to dial it back that much.
Okay. Well, yeah. When I mention this guy's name, Akeem Jeffries, now I'm up to a boiling point. Here it goes, you great American. Marjorie Taylor Greene, love her to death, versus Speaker Johnson equals Akeem Jeffries. If they keep messing around, that racist Akeem Jeffries is going to end up being the speaker. Then we're screwed, Dr. Dunn, because the first thing that Akeem Jeffries is going to do is charge President Trump with insurrection. Mm. Okay? That's why they're so quiet. Nobody's talking about that.
Well, we've got a one-seat Republican majority in the House, And we have this speaker, ostensibly a Republican named Mike Johnson, who Rand Paul was just on with Maria Bartiromo this morning saying, golly, I don't see much difference in Mike Johnson as speaker and maybe some Democrat as speaker. What is the difference? Anyway,
that's my fear.
Yeah.
That's my fear. That's what they're waiting for. That's what these Democrats are so quiet. Sneaking that snake, King Jeffries.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to charge. That's what they're looking for. Because they didn't charge President Trump. I don't want to be repetitive. My second point is, who? World Health Organization. We got to find a way to get them out of our country because they have too much power in America, and they're not even American.
No, global bureaucracy, WHO, and Trump, when he was president, said, oh, no, WHO, we're no longer members of that. And then when Biden got back in there, he said, oh, no, we're back to being members of the WHO. Little transition there.
You're on top of your game.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You're on top of your game.
Oh, yeah. Totally,
and
man.
My third point, you great American, Dr. Dunn, we have to eliminate and move the United Nations out of America. Because, you know, as I texted you last week, there's 32 countries in NATO. And let's, every 2 years, get United Nations out of our country and ship them off to another NATO country. Share the wealth. Get out of here, because they're dangerous too.
So you're not a huge fan of the UN, these faceless globalist bureaucracies with the abbreviated acronym letters? I think the founders would be horrified, you know, to think that global bureaucracies could have any influence over how we live our lives here in America as an American citizen, right? That's the definition of it. Yeah.
I listened to John B. Wells last night, and World Health Organization, they're trying to turn our country into a communist way of life, because what they did to us with that false Dr. Fauci COVID, that's what World Health Organization is working on right now. And
yeah,
they're in cahoots with BlackRock and United Nations, Dr. Dunn.
Well,
it's just a shadow palace. We're not in power.
Yeah, it's the faceless bureaucrat that we did not elect. But one way or another, we're funding their machinations that end up working against our own best interests. That's the way it is. And by the way, I don't know if you saw this, Eric, that Klaus Schwab, who's the head of the World Economic Forum / Marxist Foundation, whatever you want to call that, apparently he's taken ill and has checked into a hospital, and something serious is going on with Klaus Schwab. I don't know if you're familiar with that individual or his name, but just thought I'd mention that.
I didn't hear that.
Okay. And we don't want to, you know, wish him harm or anything negative, but we disagree with everything he stands for politically. But he's got some issues, apparently, health-wise right now.
And I got to make a fourth point. Kareem, what's her middle name? Sean Pierre?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's another one that we needed to deport. I don't even know where that babe was even born. Do you?
Well, she's the press secretary. I guess I don't know either, Eric. Thank you.
That's a good one. Much love. Okay.
Kelly Clarkson with a little tune there called What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger, channeling philosopher Friedrich Wilhelm Nietzsche there, who said something similar. And I don't know. Do you think Kelly Clarkson has spent much time studying her Nietzsche? I tend to doubt it. She'd probably be better off if she didn't actually study that philosopher. In spite of all of his brilliance, I think he's a big arrow also pointing in the wrong direction, that individual. But yeah, one of those geniuses out there. text the studio here that a picture of the Situation Room at the White House, and apparently all the name cards are facing Biden so he can remember the names of his own staff. I mean, how embarrassing it is to be an American these days. And we've talked about this, that it's kind of weird to see the American flag right now or want to fly your own American flag, which we do anyway. But with a bit of embarrassment because of the current administration and how awful they are, and why are they not at zero in the polls? You have to sit around and wonder and speculate. And I think that if the American people knew what was going on, if they were fully informed about what was going on, I think you'd have Biden sitting right there at zero. Yeah, how could you not think that? And Biden's out trying to throw his political opponent in jail for the rest of his life. We think that's okay? I don't quite get it all, but we'll keep exploring. Let's say hello, and we'll go in order. David in Thornton. Howdy, David. Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. My worry, Matt, is that if Joe Biden gets elected, we'll end up with Kamala Harris as president, and soon after he gets into office.
Kamala Harris, you don't want her to be president? David, you don't think she'd be amazing?
Well, she can't even handle the job she's got. How is she going to handle that one? I mean, they asked her if she'd been to the border, and she said, no, I haven't been to Europe either. Ha, 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 ha.
I got the cackle. I think she's the least popular vice president in the modern era. I haven't heard of anyone less popular. And she's had the media trying to support her and ballast her all the way along. And she just doesn't play well with the American people. But good point. That's another factor. How come Biden isn't at zero when he's got a VP like Kamala Harris that nobody seems to like, not even her own staff, that keep filing out of that office saying, oh, that wasn't fun working in there?
Yeah, but there's another vice president that I absolutely could not stand, and that's Al Gore. And ooh, I still can't stand him today.
Yeah, not a big fan of Al.
Mm-hmm. And not at all, you know.
If he was right.
That's the reason I voted for Bush, was because of him and John Kerry.
Huh. So, David, you were once a Democrat. Is this true?
Oh, I was, until my last Democrat that I voted for was Jimmy Carter.
Okay.
And after that disaster, I
were you cured?
Could not vote. That was cured.
You were cured by Jimmy. Yeah.
And, you know, he was a very moral person. He was just not very bright.
Well, yeah, Jimmy Carter, in retrospect, you have to give him points that he wrote some pretty decent poetry. I actually have a book of Jimmy Carter's poems in the man cave, embarrassed to admit that. But better poet than president. And, yeah, he sure was so bad that he made Ronald Reagan look even better. But is Biden worse than Jimmy Carter? I think that they're polling in similar territory, Biden and Carter. And that's why, you know, you've got Trump running the perfect campaign. I think in a fair fight, in a fair election, we've got this thing in November. But watch how it plays. But by the way, I don't, you know, you voting for Jimmy Carter, not a problem, because we're getting so many, you know, former Democrats 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, that are seeing the light and heading into the GOP. When I say GOP, I mean MAGA, because you can't say much positive about people like Ken Buck and so forth, right?
Something like Liz Cheney, you mean? Ken Buck?
Ooh.
Liz Cheney?
Yeah. Yikes.
Mitt Romney? Are you kidding me? I mean,
yeah, that's the Republican word. You got to be a little embarrassed about some of those figures, but the voting base of the GOP is not Romney, right, is not Pence, is not Lindsey Graham, is not Ken Buck. It's MAGA. And that has been conclusively proven with this incredibly lopsided primary we just went through. backed up by every bit of poll data. And yeah, Nikki, how far did she get? Not very. Well, David, thank you, sir, and glad you were cured by Jimmy Carter, the Carter cure. That's cool. And we've got Guy in not Walsenburg, but Inglewood. Guy, welcome. How are you, sir?
I just got back from Walsenburg.
Nice.
Yeah. Hey, I got to tell you, from a family of all Democrats, my mom got a job with the CCC in the Depression era. And my dad, always has been strong Democrat roots. However, they don't see the change, and it's gone from the Kennedy style. Listen to John Kennedy's inaugural speech, for example. That's not a today's Democrat. That's a Republican speaking.
Oh, so absolutely.
And I've lost a sister on account of I switched to the Republican Party to being a conservative. I mean, like I told you in your office, I switched because I started listening to Rush.
Rush Limbaugh.
So, yeah. Yeah. So it's a religion. Why it's not at zero is the zealot religious Democrats. It's their religion and
brainwashing, cult-like behaviors.
We're the evil ones. Now, and Dr. Phil.
Yeah, Dr. Phil. Where'd he come from?
Well, he came from Texas. Oh, no, I thought you meant.
But I mean, he's always been there. But now I'm suddenly seeing him weighing in on stuff from the conservative viewpoint. Like he actually wants borders to be secure. And he says the family is under attack. I actually brought his book and I snapped up his book because a caller last week said I should get it. And so I got it. But what do you know about Dr. Phil?
Dr. Phil started a new network in cooperation with Trinity Broadcasting Network.
Okay.
It's called Merritt Street. And they're right there at, like, I think on the local over-the-air channels, it's 38.2. TBN is 38.1. And he started, it's a whole new network led by Dr. Phil, and he's got a news part of it, and he's got Crazy Nancy Grace doing the show for him.
Hmm.
And he really, I think he's truly, I listened to an interview he did with husband and wife who were the head of TBN, and he sounds like one of us.
You know, I am inclined to welcome Dr. Phil. I'm kind of a little, he's been so present for so long, and he's such a well-known figure across America, and I haven't seen him, actively engaged in the cultural debates and the political debates for a long time, so I kind of wonder, what's going on? I mean, is this a legit thing? But it seems like he is, and it seems like, hey, welcome another big voice into the debate at a key time before we lose this place, right?
I think he is. I vote yes.
Right on. It sounds like you're out running with the dogs, Guy.
No, I've got a little bit of a sinus nasal drip going, so.
Oh, okay.
I apologize.
Or you're outdoors? You're outdoors or something?
I'm outdoors, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So, but anyways, you have a great rest of your show. I'll be listening.
Will do, Guy. Okay, you keep staying groovy, sir. And all the best. All the best. These great Americans checking in with us tonight. And do we have time to say hey to Joe in Arvada? Joe, welcome.
Matt.
Yes.
Oh, glad to be here with you, brother.
Yo.
The easiest answer in the world, the one that's really messing up our entire nation, the answer is public schools. That is the reason why we have idiots voting for Joe Biden. When I say idiots, you reminded me of one, Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy.
What's the difference between Jimmy Carter and Joe Biden? People say they're both idiots. That's true. See, Jimmy Carter was a useful idiot, but he had a conscience.
Yes.
Joe Biden is also a useful idiot, but he has no conscience.
He really does not. Joe Biden, he just stands up there and just straight up lies, man. And he doesn't think twice about it constantly. Media doesn't point that out much. Yeah.
Jimmy Carter was a communist, didn't know he was a communist. Joe Biden is a communist. He knows he's a communist.
He likes being a communist. He thinks that's
absolutely
where it's at. Yeah. Well, Joe, you're right. Oh, let's keep it up a little bit there. Yes, we're going down to Brazil for a little music here. This would be the João Gilberto Stan Getz, the girl from Ipanema. We got to wait till the saxophone comes in, don't we? Because that Stan Getz, nobody could play that sax like that guy. Some kind of richness, some kind of warmth he could bring out of that instrument. I'll tell you. Oh, there it is right now, the sax. Backing us up here. That's Brazil at a better time. And I just threw this one in because Elon Musk's having quite a little conflict with Brazil, where down in Brazil, Lula and his judge, Alexandre, talked about it a bit last week. Alexandre wears these capes, kind of looks like Darth Vader. Weird. I mean, there's weird people out there in power wearing this dark cape in his like profile photo. I don't know, but they do not want free speech. They do not want Twitter X to be able to operate in Brazil. Elon Musk out there saying that they are by far the worst country they've ever had to deal with, and that it seems like what the government, the leftist government, remember how they got rid of Bolsonaro? Remember that? The populist Bolsonaro, who would go out and give speeches. There'd be like a million people standing there in the streets listening to Bolsonaro giving a speech. But then somehow this other guy named Lula wins. Somehow that happened. You can look into that, and you can draw some parallels, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, they do not want free speech in Brazil. I'm glad Elon's out there, you know, fighting for free speech. So I keep giving kudos to Elon Musk. I keep expecting him to really drop the ball at some point or really let us down or disappoint us. But he's taken an awful lot of heat. He spent an awful lot of money to do this. And again, the last thing they want in Brazil, the last thing our ruling class in America wants is the ability of people like us to speak our minds. It's most unfortunate. The founders were very aware that you don't want people like that in power. They made an amendment for that, the First Amendment, yeah, to try to forestall it. They put it first for some reason. The First Amendment is an incredible antidote to corrupt power. And the more you see the people, the corrupt people in power going after the First Amendment, the more I think that validates their corruption. Bad times in Brazil, but we've been through similar stuff here. You know, you got to realize that. The censorship has been worse than most anybody realizes, ladies and gentlemen. Another text to studio here. Another reason Joe isn't at 0%, people in Rio Linda vote. And yet people know Rush Limbaugh's references to Rio Linda. Is that inside info? The Rio Linda crowd? Not really around here. This is the most informed listenership you'll find anywhere. Backbone Country, the elites. Before the phones, one quick point of poll data. New York Times Siena comes out with a poll, and I'm again speculating, why isn't Biden at zero? And apparently Joe Biden's presidency. All right. Do you generally remember the years that this candidate was president as mostly good years for America, mostly bad years for America, or not really good or bad? So when the question comes up for Biden, only 25% of respondents say that Biden was mostly good for America. 46% say mostly bad. Now you get over to Trump. 42% say Trump mostly good for America. Only 33% say mostly bad for America. So you have people reflecting and realizing, and this is a 17-point win for Trump on this New York Times poll, that say Trump was better for America. Times were better when Trump was in office, by far, than when Biden was in office. Yeah, and which is amazing to point this out, because the mainstream media, of course, has been around the clock, relentless, trying to batter and harm Donald Trump, tell you how evil and all the rest of it he is, and they've been bolstering and supporting Joe Biden every step of the way. But people are seeing what's right in front of their eyes, okay? People are making their own calls at an increasing rate and not trusting the mainstream media to tell you what's in front of your own eyes. That's cool. And another big one, this is in the Wall Street Journal. Poll data comes out, and this is about growing black support for Donald Trump. It's a thing, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about it around here an awful lot, but according to, and this is Wall Street Journal polling, and it, I don't see that, I don't know if it's a Wall Street Journal poll, but it's referenced in the Wall Street Journal. According to Wall Street Journal polling in seven battleground states, 30% of black men intend to vote for Trump in 2024. 30%. And in 2020, apparently the same polling had it at 12%. Oh, actually, Trump won 12% of the black male vote in 2020. So going from 12% in 2020 to presently 30% in 2024, that's double and a half right there. And for black women, we're at 11% in the polling for Trump 2024. And we are at 6% in 2020. So essentially doubling the black female vote for Trump in 2024 and double and a halving the black male vote for Trump in 2024. See, that's big, big numbers. And that gets the ruling class, the Democrats, quivering. They're like, man, we better get Trump in jail. Man, we better shut down free speech as fast as we can in this country. We got to get rid of this Twitter thing, darn it. It's happening, folks. It is happening. What's going to stop it from happening? They're going to try everything. Will World War III be their answer? We'll see, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get to some phone action. And Jim in Littleton, welcome, sir. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing just well, Matt. How are you doing?
Doing all right.
So part of the reason I am an independent is because I see very little value in the Republican Party. And I go just right now, what's going on? They approved, the House approved FISA.
Yep.
When President Trump, when Trump even said, kill it. You know, FISA, the FBI has been basically used white male Republicans as public enemy number one, and we don't have the Republicans in the House don't have enough common sense to kill it, and they approve it. So what is the point of being a Republican when you deal with backstabbers like that?
Well, it is those Republicans that vote for FISA after all the spying on Trump and all the spying on the American people. All of right. The utter unforgivable ruthlessness there performed by right. Our intelligence community and our ruling class. It's all connected. Yeah, well, they, right. They give the Republican Party a bad name. And I'm actually doing a segment on this.
Why should you be a Republican? Why should you be white as a white male? Why should I be a Republican when everything they do is against me?
Well, as a white male, black male, Hispanic male, you should be a Republican because it's Trump's party now in terms of the voting base. But unfortunately, when the people get elected, they get corrupted or they get chosen knowing they will be corrupted when they go to D.C. But I would say stay in the fold and make this the MAGA party and clear out the last remnants of the Rhino party. That'd be my vote on that, Jim. Thank you.